Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the City That Never Sleeps podcast. My name is Josh. Long time. Last episode was over a month ago, but we're here, and I think we're here at the best possible time to look at this New York Knicks team. Now, the Knicks are currently 36-27, and they are coming off, what is that, their fifth win in a row at this point? One, two, three, four, five, sixth. Sixth win in a row coming against the Boston Celtics, one of the best teams in the NBA, and you could probably say the best team in the Eastern Conference. Throw it up there. It's a toss-up between them and the Milwaukee Bucks. But all around roster-wise, I think Giannis has a really good, well, we know Giannis. Giannis does a really good job kind of, I wouldn't say carrying the team, but sort of carrying the team. They have some good pieces around them. But this Boston Celtics team, top of the roster through the bottom of the roster, probably have one of, if not the best rosters in the NBA, from starters to bench to, you know, six men role players. This team is stacked. Now, yes, they were without Jaylen Brown tonight, or last night. I'm recording this Tuesday night. They're without Jaylen Brown. They eventually lost Jason Tatum. And no, it wasn't one of Jason Tatum's best games. It wasn't even close to that. It was one of Jason Tatum's probably worst games of the season. He did not help this team at all. However, that doesn't stop, you know, you as a Knicks fan from celebrating this win. This was one of the best wins of the season for this team. They continue the streak now with Josh Hart, and he continues to show his defensive presence on the court, as well as just how much of a factor he is in this game. And you could talk about how good Cam Reddish is doing right now in Portland. Why do we care? Why do we care? We're a Knicks fan right now, and I've been seeing people on Twitter talking about how this is the best they felt as a Knicks fan since 2012. Back in 2012, when the Knicks went to the playoffs, I was 7 years old. I was seven. I'm now 17. That was 10 years ago, just about. And wow, this is probably the best Knicks team that I have seen in my lifetime, because honestly, I don't remember the team with Carmelo Anthony and Jeremy Lin. I guess I do. Tyson Chandler, Amari Stoudemire. I do remember that team. That's a lie. I do remember that team. Now, do I remember them like making the playoffs and specific events like that? Not really. I just remember kind of Jeremy Lin's and his wonder story there, and Carmelo Anthony and doing the 3-point against the head with the three fingers. You know, Tyson Chandler being that player under the post, and Amari Stoudemire wearing rec specs because I wear glasses to see, you know, I need to see, I have really bad vision. So I remember Amari Stoudemire wearing the rec specs, and I would wear the rec specs when I played basketball in middle school and elementary school, whatever. And I would be like, you know, I look just like Amari Stoudemire, right? So that's what I remember from that team. Then I remember this team that went to the first round of the NBA playoffs a few years ago, get swept by the Hawks, you know, tough. This team, I want to say on a good night, like they had last night, well, a couple nights ago, probably when you're listening, but I'm recording this again Tuesday night. So like they had last night, they can face and win against any team in the NBA if they play very well. I think you can say that with this Knicks team. There's obviously teams I would fear if we're going into the first round, second round of the playoffs. But I think in one game, this Knicks team has the chance to be any team in the NBA. Anyway, so that's my little opening there. You know, like my episodes are normally throughout the season, they're not too long. So all I really want to do is kind of recap this Celtics game a little bit. And then we could talk about the Nets a little bit too, as they're playing them probably tonight when you're listening again. So let's go through that. Again, this Boston Celtics team, having a few spelling errors tonight, talking errors. This Celtics team is one of the best in the NBA, 44-18, their record. Again, with this win, Knicks 36-27. And what really won the Knicks this game was their first quarter performance. You look at the second, third, and fourth quarter, the Celtics were right with them when it came to scoring totals. But in the first quarter, at the end of the first quarter, if you remember, the Knicks were leading 27-15. And when they were able to maintain this 10, 15, almost 20-point lead throughout the entirety of this game, the whole game, they were able to really maintain a lead. I wasn't Obviously there was points I was nervous. Sometimes they were close to 10, 8. I don't even know if they got to 6. But throughout the entire game, I feel like the Knicks were really able to hold that boundary over the Celtics. Anytime the Celtics would get close, they would go on a run. They were going an 8-0 run in 3 minutes. Knicks, I feel like there was that stretch where they didn't score for 3 to 4 minutes. And, you know, you're kind of on the edge of your seat. You're getting a little nervous for this team. Yes, there was those, was that happening in the game. And in the second half of this one, I do want to say that it definitely got a little bit sloppy. However, there were points later in the quarters, both of them more in the fourth quarter, that the Knicks were able to clean that up. But there were turnovers along both sides of the floor. We had that stretch where Julius Randle, the offense just wasn't working, and he had those back-to-back air balls where he had to release it because the shot clock was going down. It was going to hit zero. He had that one air ball, a completely terrible shot. And I think back-to-back scoring opportunities, Randle had another three, and he airballed it again. That's where I'm talking about the sloppiness of this Knicks team, but that's okay because they were able to bounce back and, you know, get their rhythm going and use that ball movement, man. Being able to find Quentin Grimes, Emmanuel Quickly, guys like that in the corner when they're able to pass around one, two times. Having RJ Barrett when he needs to be, right? Having RJ Barrett when they made this trade. They made this trade for them. I'm going to go a little bit to the Josh Harden, RJ Barrett talk for a second. You know, I'm not going to say it's going to be a tangent, but a little side combo from what I was talking about, and then I'll continue if I remember. With the trade for Josh Hart, Knicks fans immediately go to RJ Barrett. So are they benching RJ Barrett? Is he still going to start? Is he still going to take, you know, have minutes in this game? Is he still going to be with the team next year? That's a big question. What are they going to do? What are the Knicks going to do with RJ Barrett this summer? Because Josh Hart needs a new contract, and you would think if they're trading for him and the roots that he has with, you know, his time with Jalen Brunson in college and how much Thibodeau really likes him and has liked him, you know, even before he was on this team, obviously, you're going to think, okay, Knicks priority, they're going to re-sign Josh Hart. So what is that going to mean for RJ Barrett? You know, what other fans of other teams would like to call, especially Nets fans, when, you know, they had their three of James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving. Look what happened there. They like to call our guys the mid-three, right? We had RJ Barrett. Was it RJ Barrett, Julius Randle, and Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, and RJ Barrett? And I guess you can call it that, whatever. Not the point. So when we're looking at this, we're like the mid-three, blah, blah, blah. What's going to happen to RJ Barrett? Well, RJ Barrett's still going to play. He's still going to play a lot of minutes. In this game, he had 26 minutes. Pretty good. Josh Hart had 27. So again, pretty even between those two. I think Thibodeau's actually, I know, you know, as Knicks fans, we like to talk, like, look at Jalen Brunson playing 40 minutes. You know, last year, maybe even the season before that, the people who were calling for Thibodeau was because he plays his guys too much in the regular season. He gives them too much minutes to stay on the floor. His starters go so long. Randle goes so long. He gets tired in the end of the game. He gets tired in games past that, and he can't perform at the same, whatever. I think right now, the way that he's mixing and matching and getting these young players to thrive, putting in Quentin Grimes from time to time, even fitting in Obi Toppin, Isaiah Hartenstein, the Knicks have a good flow right now with their rotations, and they have a lot of players. This team has depth. This team has become exciting. This team has, you know, obviously we're in the metropolitan area. We're the New York Knicks. I'm not going to say we. I'm not, you know, but I consider myself as we. I'm a Knicks fan, right? I'm sure many Knicks fans call the team and go by we in that statement of things. But I want to say the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks are obviously going to always get looked at as a big media team. No matter if they're terrible or if they're amazing, this team is going to get covered and it's going to be looked at by the national media. Now, this team has stunk the past decade. We know this. However, this season, I want to say that it has become kind of, I don't want to say an underdog story, but a team I'm going to say that people have started to look at, starting to look for. They're like, ooh, look at the Knicks coming up the standings. And now these are like other NBA fans. And there's people starting to give credit to this team. Now sitting in fifth place, a half game ahead of our opponent that we're playing tomorrow. I'm really happy as a Knicks fan right now. And I was really happy as a Knicks fan when they signed Jalen Brunson. I was happy as a Knicks fan when they signed Julius Randle to that contract a couple off seasons ago. That max deal where you're like, oh boy, why are we paying Julius Randle so much money? Now, Julius Randle, an all-star. Yes. Could even be looked at as maybe an all-NBA team guy. Am I crazy to say that? Maybe not an all-NBA first team, but maybe he makes the all-NBA second team. Jalen Brunson, he gets robbed of the NBA all-star list. What does he do? He plays better. And Brunson kind of had an off game in this one. But that didn't stop them. Brunson only with 17 points, 3 assists, and 4 rebounds in 40 minutes. Now, 17 points, 40 minutes. That's not the Jalen Brunson numbers you're used to seeing. And anything that drops off lower than 30 points, you're going to be like, really? Jalen Brunson had that? You're going to, because that's the thing. After he was snubbed from the All-Star game, and I don't really know if this actually affected him mentally, but it just happened that the timing was perfect, that he did not make the All-Star game, and immediately, 30-point night, 30-plus point night, 30-plus point night, 30-plus, you know, 20-plus point night, 25-plus point night, 30-plus, you know, so 40-plus point night. It just happened to be in that time period that he goes that high, that he just creates this level of consistency that if he drops off from that and has a mediocre to average, and what we would say in quote, not so Jalen Brunson type game, we're calling it an off night. And I definitely can agree. I want to say that he wasn't at his top performance level. He was missing a couple of free throws, and we normally don't see that from Brunson, probably like an 87-88% free throw shooter. He was missing a few, and it didn't really seem like he had that normal groove that he always does. But guess what? Players that are young, but they're gelling together well, and this chemistry is so good that you have guys like Emmanuel Quickley. And now I want to check how old he is exactly. I'm going to say either 22 or 23 years old. You have guys like Emmanuel Quickley, who's 23 years old. And in 31 points, Quickley's in 31 minutes, excuse me, nailing three after three after three, ends with 23 points, 2 assists, and 3 rebounds. That is chemistry. And that also shows a good team and a good roster. We're not carried by one guy. Yes, some nights we are. And some nights it's called the Jalen Brunson game. A lot of nights it's called the Jalen Brunson game. Last night, it wasn't a Jalen Brunson game. I don't even know if it was an Emmanuel Quickley game or Julius Randle game. It was a New York Knicks team basketball game. As a team, collectively, they stayed ahead time after time again. Even through that terrible, long, miserable 7 minutes of a review that ended with a correct call of Jalen Brunson getting the tech. Because even though he was stepping back and obviously, why the hell would he want to kick Marcus Smart, excuse me. He wouldn't want to kick Marcus Smart for any reason. He did. He gets the, you know, he gets a tech, and it's fine. It, whatever. Flagrant tech. I forget. I think the flagrant foul. I forget what it was. Not the point. But it was the correct call. It took so long, but that didn't even get them out of the game. No, I don't even think, I think both teams were kind of out of the groove at that point. I think it was like the last 3 minutes of the game. Knicks already had a pretty good 10-plus point lead, and I don't even think either team scored in the last 3 minutes or something like that. But what I'm trying to say is the Knicks didn't let that timeout get to them, and they didn't lose this game. They had a sustainable, like I said, 5-plus, 10-plus, sometimes 15-plus point lead, and they end up winning this game 109-94, all because of what they started out in the beginning. They were red hot. They were on fire in that first quarter. Again, led 27-15 at the start of that first quarter. In these first quarters, the past couple games, you look against the Pelicans that they played on Saturday, 128-106 final. And the Pelicans aren't the Celtics. I know that. The Knicks dropped 42 points in the first quarter against the New Orleans Pelicans. They outscored them 42-26 in that first quarter. no other quarter was similar scoring than the first. It was closer between the Pelicans and the Knicks. But it's that first jump right in the beginning to get their ground. It's not like they're just getting their feet wet. They're diving in the water. This team is so ahead of their opponent in the beginning of the first quarter that, or these past couple games, I want to say, because against the Wizards, if you remember, that was the game out of the All-Star break, I want to say, for both teams. And Kristaps Porzingis and that Wizards team got off to a hot start. They were actually outscored the Knicks 38-27. So I want to say in these past two games, the Knicks have put their foot on the pedal from the jump early, and they haven't looked back. And that's what's won these teams. And that's what won the Knicks these basketball games against these teams. So let's go through the stat lines here. Again, 36 minutes for Julius Randle, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 23 points. RJ Barrett with 26 minutes, 10 points, 2 assists, 7 rebounds. Mitchell Robinson with 32 minutes. Boy, has it looked good this Knicks team since Mitchell Robinson has come back after the All-Star break. Wow, what a difference maker he is. And this is no knock to Isaiah Hartenstein. The guy has been good for this team while Mitch has been out. But again, boy, does it make a difference when Mitch Rob is in. You see the impact that guy has. And I just hope he stays healthy through the rest of the season and into the playoffs, because boy, is he a difference maker. I keep on saying boy, but anyway, he's a difference maker. He had 32 minutes, 13 rebounds, 10 assists, some unbelievable rebounds, man. Unbelievable second chance efforts. The alley-oop, the one-handed dunk. Oh my gosh, the guy with his reach. I can go on about Mitchell Robinson all day. I'm not going to do that. Jalen Brunson, 40 minutes, 17 points, 3 assists, 4 rebounds. Quentin Grimes off the bench, 21 minutes, only 5 points and 4 assists. Emmanuel Quickley, 23 points, 2 assists and 3 rebounds in 31 minutes. Josh Hart off the bench, 12 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, and 27 minutes. This isn't even in the stat line. Again, this guy on defense is so, so good. Just makes an impact directly when he comes off the bench. You see him staying with guys throughout the entirety of the shot clock. And yes, sometimes these NBA players are really freaking good. They'll make a shot over him. They'll make a three-pointer over him. They'll make a step back over him. But it's just that he stays on defense, even his off-ball defense, just tracking the guy. So fun to watch and such a good player. Anyway, Isaiah Hartenstein had 16 minutes, just 1 rebound. Obi Toppin off the bench with 12 minutes, 4 rebounds. And no points for Miles McBride. No minutes for Miles McBride. And speaking of Miles McBride off the bench, he hasn't even played in that game. Another bench piece that the Knicks brought in, I want to say it was, yeah, they signed him today when I'm recording this on Tuesday. They signed Dwayne Washington Jr. to a two-way deal. The Knicks, Washington, I should say, averaged about 8 points in nearly 13 minutes for the Suns this season. Let's see what else I got on him. Last year, the 6'3" combo guard played 48 games for Indiana, averaging 10 points a night, scoring 20-plus 4 times, putting up 17 against the Knicks in January 2022. This year with Phoenix, he scored 20-plus 4 times in 31 games, again, netting double digits against the Knicks in January. The career 37% shooter from three turns 23 late in March and is evidently a big fan of small cuties in the posting and toasting article. I guess that's him with his kid in a photo. But anyway, Washington will be an end of the bench guy. It's going to play the same role as kind of Derrick Rose. That'll come in late garbage time minutes if we even need him. Don't worry about it, but it's just something to note there. So let's take a look at the Knicks again in the standings. They sit in fifth now at 36-27. They're 8.5 games back of first. They have won 6 in a row. And the Nets team that are half game behind them have lost 2 in a row. The Knicks are going to be playing them tonight, probably when you're listening, on Wednesday. The Knicks recently actually played the Nets. How long ago at this point? February 13th. So a couple weeks ago. What'd they do? They beat them, which is very satisfying as a Knicks fan. Having one of my best friends be a Brooklyn Nets fan, they're very good. They have been very good the past few years. They beat the Knicks for many years, a few years, like 3 or 4 years now. So to break that streak was beautiful. And obviously to get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving out of here was even more majestic. But anyway, let's look at the standings. So the Cavs are 2.5 games ahead of the Knicks. Now, can the Knicks maybe leapfrog the Cavs? It's definitely possible. I mean, if we still keep, you know, if the Knicks team still keeps playing how they've been playing, they can get close to where the Cavs are in fourth. Maybe even hop them. Now, after that point, you look at the 76ers, you look at the Celtics, you look at the Bucks. That's a big three in the East. We know that. I don't think the Knicks get close to those teams unless they go on some miraculous run and they just keep winning and winning and winning, which I'm hoping they will. But those teams also will just keep winning, winning, and winning. The Bucks right now on a 14-game winning streak, 43-17. So, but anyway, this next game. Oh, also today, sorry, forgot about this. Speaking of the Nets are actually planning on sitting Ben Simmons for the remainder of this season and hoping to get rid of him in some capacity in the offseason, whether it's release, trade, whatever. So they lost Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving this season. They actually signed Ben Simmons to be with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. He was the only one left out of what you would call the superstars, which I think that sailed for Ben Simmons a few years ago. He is now not even going to play for this team for the rest of the season. It's so comical. It's really funny to see our crosstown rivals just absolutely spiral into a dumpster fire. I mean, they were when Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving got traded. This just adds that cherry on top to the ice cream, to the cake, whatever you want to call it. It's absolutely beautiful. I love to see it. So anyway, Knicks at 7:30 tomorrow. If the Knicks keep playing the way that they've been doing, I do not see anything else but a win. And that's like, I'm being super cocky and confident right now. But, I mean, look at this Nets team. They don't have any confidence. They got blown out. Let me look at the game. They got blown out the other night, too. Was it by the Celtics? Oh, so they're actually playing right now when I'm recording this against the Bucks. They're down by 12 with about 5 minutes left. So, they're down by 15 now. I assume they'll lose that game. Yes, it was against the Bulls, actually, not the Celtics. Friday, they lost 131-87 to the Bulls. They got outscored in the second quarter 30-11 and 34-22 in the third. In the second quarter, yeah, 30-11. Okay, so I really like to see back-to-back wins for this Knicks team against the Nets, especially having one of my best friends be a Nets fan. It would just be so nice and beautiful. So I'm hoping for that. But anyway, where are we at right now? Oh, we're over 20 minutes. Okay, we can definitely wrap this one up. So I appreciate you listening to this episode of the City That Never Sleeps podcast. I really enjoyed recording it. I'm hoping to record more as long as the Knicks keep winning. And, you know, when I have time, obviously, because when I have time, I kind of am able to put these out. And that's why I never really have time. So that's why they come out very, you know, different time periods. But I appreciate you coming back to this one. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. Go to chipstudios.com/City That Never Sleeps to listen to more of them. And follow us on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. It's only while I'm the one running it. TCTNS official. And I'm on Twitter at JoshHello29. All right. Go New York, go New York, go. See you next time. Peace. Sharper with Hubert, Bonner, Gray, and Harper. It's the Knicks and we're back on pace. Everyone's gearing up for the championship race. And the fans are going crazy and they're doing it for a reason. Cause 94 is the Knickerbocker season. You better believe the Knicks got all that takes. We're shooting three-pointers and we're running fast breaks. And if your defense makes a mistake, then bam, you ain't dunks in your face. This is a team you don't want to miss. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Go New York, go New York, go. A swish, threes by Starks and dunks by Smith, and no rebounds. If that's the case, we put Oakley and Mace in your face. We draw charges and we send picks. We are New York, we are the New York Knicks. Say go New York, go New York, go. Go New York, go New York, go. Say go New York, go New York, go.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.